Welcome to Let's Talk About Life, a podcast brought to you by LifeBank, the organ, eye, and tissue recovery agency in Northeast Ohio. Donation can be a complicated subject, but it is really all about life. So spend a few minutes as we unravel the complexities of donation. So come on, let's talk about life.
Over the many years as a recipient of medical care, I have interacted with literally thousands of wonderful technicians, nurses, dietary staff, members of the housekeeping team, and of course, lab workers and doctors. And to be honest, most of the time, I only see, air quotes, them in their role and occupation, and I really don't think much beyond the interaction we just had. Do you do that too? I guess it's only natural, but on this episode, we're going to stop for a moment and take a closer look with some medical professionals who also have a connection to LifeBank. Hi, you're listening to episode 121 of Let's Talk About Life. I'm your host, Colleen Gerber, kidney recipient and LifeBank staff member. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to talk with three women who work at University Hospitals Medical Center of Cleveland. They each have been involved in organ donor cases over the years, but have a special insight on how important those cases are for those on the waiting list. It is my honor to introduce Hannah Higgins, Anna Weber, and Rebecca Myers to the show. Thank you, ladies, for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Well, I'm so excited that you're here and you agreed to talk with me. As we stated, you've been with UH and you have experience with donor cases. Hannah, I'm going to start with you. Tell us what your current role is with UH and your interaction with LifeBank.
So my current role is a nursing supervisor. Previous to this, I've been in this role only about maybe a year and a half now. I worked in the neuro intensive care unit for almost 15 years. So neuro ICU has a pretty good relationship with LifeBank. Unfortunately, sometimes our patient population that comes in suffer devastating brain injuries, either due to accident or stroke. So a lot of times we do see firsthand good interactions with LifeBank. In the moments of tragedy, the family is able to kind of help carry out some of these patients' wishes if they are organ donors. So it ends up being a little bit of a positive experience and a tragic outcome for these families. They're able to help fulfill their loved one's dying wish of being able to give life to other individuals. And it doesn't necessarily lessen the pain of the death, but to know that a part of their loved one is able to continue to live on in others, I think gives a little bit of peace in the situation.
I agree with that. I think a lot of donor families feel that it's the one positive that came out of a tragedy, and they hold on to it with pride.
Right.
Okay, Anna, your turn. What is your role at UH right now?
My role currently at UH is I work as a staff nurse in the trauma surgical ICU. I've been there for the past 3.5 years. It's crazy to think that time has gone so fast, because from one of my first interactions in the trauma surgery ICU, I remember we had a LifeBank case going on where someone unfortunately was not going to recover and their family had decided to go forward with a gifted donation, to then turn around and their organs were able to go help save someone else on the other side of the liver recipient that I got to take care of.
Oh, so wow.
It's the cool part about my unit is we get to see both sides of it. So the side of working with LifeBank is, as Hannah was saying, is these people come in with devastating, tragic injuries. And the nature of my unit is these people never expected to be in a hospital as well. They're after car accidents or some other major life event that altered their life in a moment. Other families in their grieving process are able to give their loved ones possibly their like last gift of honoring their wishes of being an organ donor, or able to make the decision for them and give their last moments some meaning that they can carry on with for the rest of their life. So it's really cool to be able to interact with them on both sides of the donation process in my unit.
Yeah, you have a really unique view. Yeah, that's awesome. That's wonderful. And Rebecca, we're going to go to you next. What's your role at UH right now?
Yes. So currently at UH, I'm just in the neuro ICU now, but before I was an ICU flow pool nurse. So I worked all the ICUs with Hannah and Anna. So I kind of got to see every unit and get to experience Life Bank in every type of patient population. And I've seen maybe a patient in MICU do bad, and then, yeah, their organs go to someone in trauma. It was so bizarre and crazy, you know, to kind of see all the differences, but very cool and very different, I guess you could say, at the same time. It's really hard because I would see, you know, of course, like different types of patient populations get affected. And usually because maybe I'd work in neuro or like trauma, we'd see like the brain death immediately. And I would see it quicker in like a cardiac ICU, just because I'd be like, oh, now we got to call Life Bank. They're not as used to, you know, working with it as much as like Anna and Hannah were. So that was like a very interesting role to play. But also with organ donation, my dad just passed away not too long ago. And that's how I got extremely close with Life Bank. He was on the donation list as well. Unfortunately, he didn't go through, but I got to learn so much more about the organ donation process. And I found to even have more of a heart for it and more of a drive to help everyone in the process of all of it.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about your father. That's hard. That's hard.
No. Yes.
But that's why we work so hard. You know, we know that they're not just names on a list, on the waiting list. Those are, you know, moms, dads, sisters, brothers, uncles, aunts, and they mean something to so many people. Wow. I am so sorry for that.
Thank you. But it definitely makes me appreciate this stuff that we do every day. And Life Bank does so much more. Absolutely.
I'm going to go back to Anna. Anna, what is your connection to the mission of Life Bank?
So my connection to the mission of Life Bank was created well before I even knew there were organizations that helped with figuring out who could be an organ donor. One of my best friends, family friends growing up, was diagnosed with a genetic disease that caused his liver to sclerose or harden from the inside out. So he has received two liver transplants in his lifetime, one a directed living donor situation from his mother when he was about 11 years old. And then he received another liver transplant after that donated organ had come to the end of its life when he was about 21, 22 years old from a organization that is very similar to Life Bank in another state. So I have seen it through the entire process of his entire medical journey since I was about 5 years old.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and then on top of that, now because of all the medications that organ recipients have, sometimes other organs get affected in their body. So he is now currently listed as a kidney transplant recipient and is speaking out about the living donor organizations and programs that different facilities have.
You know, it is so awesome to see that there are more living donors stepping up for kidney and partial liver transplants these days. It is really growing. And that is another way to save lives. You know, not everybody is up for that, but it is an option now. And they have really perfected the surgeries for those. And those living donors go on to live fulfilling long lives afterwards. So thanks for bringing that up. That's awesome.
Yeah, been really cool to see the process on his side, because we remember getting the call when he was getting his organ from someone who had unfortunately passed away for his liver. And it's just equally as exciting to hear about the potential matches for those kidneys as well.
Yes.
And it's just from such a different aspect of the organ donation process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. It is different. What a fabulous conversation so far. You're listening to Let's Talk About Life with me, Colleen Gerber, and we're going to continue the conversation and be right back. We are taking a break from our story for a moment to tell you about a thrilling opportunity. We invite you to take a stand for organ, eye, and tissue donation by going over the edge. That's right. Our High in the Sky event is happening again this year on Wednesday, May 24th at the Oswald Center on Superior Avenue. And in case you're wondering, yep, it will be part of the Walnut Wednesday series when food trucks take over Cleveland's Perk Plaza with food for every palate. So much fun and so much yum. If you're interested in having the adventure of a lifetime by rappelling down the side of a 283-foot building, all you need to do is go to lifebank.org and you can learn more right there on our homepage. It will be a fantastic day of friends, music, food, and of course, rappelling. We hope to see you there. Take a stand for Life Bank and you take a stand for life. Now back to our story. When somebody passes and they give you that gift, it's humbling. You're absolutely right. It is different and you're grateful for it. But then when somebody who is living is willing to step up, that's a whole different feeling. And I can appreciate that. Okay, Hannah. Let's go to you. What is your connection to the mission of Life Bank?
My uncle was a liver recipient and a kidney recipient. Kind of like Anna was saying, after receiving his liver transplant probably 25 years ago, he started to develop some complications from the anti-rejection medications and it took a hit on his kidneys. So he was once again put on the list and did receive a kidney transplant. So it was pretty amazing. I remember because I was very young when all this came about. He was living out of state, but he ended up having to move back to Ohio. And it was kind of a roller coaster ride because it's like you'd get, I believe they used pagers back then, like they would page you. And then a couple times the organ fell through. So it was like the highs and lows of the journey. But the gift of life essentially gave him 20, 30 plus years.
Wow.
To continue to live, which is back in the day kind of unheard of for a liver to have that much longevity. He made the best of the situation. You know, he kind of came to terms that if he wasn't able to get the organ, you know, that he did live and he had a good life. But this just kind of put a new lease on life for him and the whole process. It's not just an individual being involved. It is the family, the friends, the hospital staff. Everybody was amazing throughout the whole process. But being so young when it happened, I didn't really understand how this all worked or how it came about. Just I knew at that point my uncle got a new lease on life. But when I came into university hospitals in the neuro ICU and had the relationship with Life Bank, you got to see the whole process from start to finish and how detailed it is and how they work so well with the patient families and, you know, respect the wishes and just the whole journey. You're supported from start to end. And it's really amazing, like what Life Bank is able to do and how many people it really does affect, organ recipient and family.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We always say it takes a village, really, to have one organ donor take place. I mean, from the hospital staff, your side of things, the ICU or the neuro ICU, to the ORs, to setting up surgeries, recoveries, our staff running all the tests and running that waiting list, the match list. I mean, it's amazing how it happens. And it does. It takes a real village to get that accomplished. I'm just going to toss this out there to anybody who wants to answer. You do have these personal experiences. When you're on your job, when you're working in your role at UH, does that personal experience change the way you look at things?
I think it totally changes the way, you know, we look at things. Like we all kind of mentioned, we all have personal experiences, and you're right. It does take a village. I mean, it makes you realize the autonomy of, you know, just human beings in general. And yeah, it isn't just a name on the list. It isn't just somebody that needs like a kidney. It's so much bigger than that. it's so deep. I mean, we have to go through all this testing. We do all these things, and we do our best to educate, you know, the public and, of course, you know, each other. But it's a hard thing for people to process. An organ donation, like taking a part of your body and putting it into someone else, it's hard sometimes for people to kind of grasp all of the concepts. And I think even ourselves, it's complicated sometimes even discussing it with people, truly.
I agree with that. And I think sometimes the patients that unfortunately do not survive but are able to be donors, it kind of gives, at least I know myself, a little bit of satisfaction. Like I wasn't able to help him or her because of the injury being so devastating, but I'm still able to help others and continue with the process of life bank, because it's really emotional. Like you, sometimes these patients have been there for a while, or you have these amazing families that you're trying to help them understand what happened and why things happened so quickly. And at least life bank gives them the option to continue to live in some way. And then as staff, we're able to help families give a little bit more time to accept. I know specifically, I mean, trauma, things can happen so quickly. Neuro, things can happen quickly. You hear so many times that I don't understand. They were just talking to me and the next thing they're on the ventilator with a devastating brain injury. So it gives time and allows family to have a little bit more satisfaction, I guess is probably not the best word, but the ability to just feel that their loved one still be here in some capacity.
I was going to completely agree with what both Hannah and Rebecca said, because there's things that happen so quickly. And I think something that is also really important to point out, even though we all have our personal connections with donation, like we're rooting for every single patient that comes through our doors to make a recovery and to get back out living their life. And as hard as it is for our staff members and the family members to hear that there's this devastating injury that there's going to be no recovery from, the process that LifeLink helps us go through is beneficial for both the family members and the staff members. So I remember coming in on one of my off days to be there with the mother of someone who was going to donate their organs because she didn't want to be alone. So it's really the entire family aspect that, and the takes a village aspect that LifeLink is able to help us get through when we have these organ donation processes going on.
Yes.
And I love that point. The outcome that we want is for your patients to recover. You know, we want your patients to live. We don't want them to be organ donors. But in reality, that's not possible in all cases. So I think, you know, the donor option is something that can be positive. It isn't for every family. I understand that. But, you know, I want to make it clear that LifeBank is in no way hoping that these tragic brain injuries aren't recoverable. You know, we want these people to be with their families and to walk out and go on to live a good life. I mean, we want that for everyone. So despite whether they're an organ donor or not, you know, it's a different outcome for donation. But we want to make that clear that we are hopeful that all patients recover. When we're out in the public, we often hear that people are apprehensive to register or to become part of the Ohio Donor Registry because they feel like doctors and nurses won't save their life if they have an accident, a tragedy. Do you want to speak to that?
I think it's an education aspect. You know, different populations may have never been exposed to LifeLink and don't understand the purpose behind it. And unfortunately, some television shows glorify the dark side of organ donation that you see where, you know, that's not what this is. I think education, outcomes, and having visibility in communities would be a little bit better so that people can have understanding of it. I remember back before COVID, LifeLink used to always come into the hospital and there was a green chair that they brought, like for Donate Life Month, and set it up in cafeteria. And so many people took advantage of that, families and patients, just to ask questions and have a little bit more exposure to, you know, what LifeBank is as an institution. And it's not, you know, most people think it's only donation after death, but, you know, the whole living donor is something that people can be made aware of. And just the more exposure, I think the less scary it is for each individual. And most people have never been in a hospital setting in general, so the concept may be a little new to them. So that's what might be a little bit apprehensive.
That's a great point. Okay, anybody else want to answer that?
Yeah, piggybacking off of Hannah too, I mean, it's hard because we became nurses. We all work in the medical field to save lives, right? So it's hard when we've done all these tests, we've done everything, and it's irreversible, and there's nothing more we can do. But families still have the ability, of course, to make that decision if they want to do organ donation. It's not like you have to do this. But at the same time, I think as long as we, you know, try to keep educating the public and we give people time, privacy, space, all the things people need when they're in these situations. And just like anything else in this life, sometimes we don't understand things until, you know, we experience it ourselves. I mean, all of us here have seen how directly donations can change lives. It's hard for people to process that sometimes if they've never experienced it before in their life. So I think we could probably, you know, work on that as much as we can. But of course, sometimes we just don't know until we're in that moment.
Yeah, I would completely agree with Rebecca and what Hannah has said. I also think part of it is the way that like our healthcare system across the nation has set up is sometimes there's just certain cultures that have a complete distrust with the system as a whole just because of their lack of education or their lack of experience in a hospital setting. As I kind of alluded to earlier, every single healthcare professional that's interacting with a patient wants them to have the best outcome to get home, to continue living the lives that they would want. It's devastating for us too when we have exhausted all of our resources and we can't continue to fulfill what their wishes would have been just because of what's physically happening in their body. So I think it really comes back to that education aspect and knowing that as much as we want to get someone back and up on their feet, it's equally as devastating for us as it is for the family members to lose somebody that we've been pouring so much energy and so much of ourselves into.
And, you know, you're all so correct that we need to be out in the community and having those difficult conversations or answering questions and assuring people that this is all regulated. We report things, we are watched, we are audited. And, you know, it is all above board and there is a process for this. Unfortunately, as you all know, COVID really put a kibosh on a lot of things externally, but thankfully we're through that and we can get back out in the public and share our message and hopefully save and heal more lives. Is there anything you want to add that I didn't ask?
I think it's just more exposure of LifeBank in general. Sometimes people that have never really heard of LifeBank or worked with them, they only see LifeBank in the hospital setting. So maybe some of the discrepancy of is the hospital, you know, a part of LifeBank or are they a separate entity? Like that's a little bit of confusion with mm-hmm. some family members. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it goes all back to exposure. And I think when people the good outcomes and that it isn't just one type of person that gets the gift of life. There's no discrimination when it comes to LifeBank. Everybody has an equal opportunity to benefit from this gift. So I think more exposure for people just to see the positive outcomes. I think that LifeBank has been doing an amazing job. I know with UH over the years, just with presence in the hospital, answering questions, availability. I know that I have Jenny on speed dial.
And I think we all do.
I know. Like a couple years ago, there was the neuro ICU, there was a newer nurse, and this family was going to withdraw care on this individual. It was a younger patient, devastating brain injury, not compatible with life. And they were about to hang the morphine drip just to transition that comfort approach. And I was just like, hey, by chance, did we touch base with Life Bank? And the newer nurse, you know, just completely flipped past her mind. We ended up calling Life Bank. Well, I called Jenny on speed dial. They came out immediately. And because of that, five families were able to be saved from that one individual. The family of the patient was extremely welcoming of Life Bank. They were super satisfied with how the staff have treated them and the fact that their son was able to live on. I believe that they ended up doing liver, lung, I don't know if they did pancreas, and the kidneys went to two other individuals. And it was within a split second, it could have been, you know, one way or another. The education that we're doing, the early triggers, and, you know, with the emergency room involvement, now being in my role as a nursing supervisor, I'm able to just step out of the ICUs, and I've helped in the ED be like, hey, you know, if we don't have a lot of information, let's just call and put it on the radar. So you guys are doing an amazing job.
Oh, yes. Thank you. And for our listeners, Jenny Oliver is a Life Bank staff member, but she's really stationed within UH, and she's there to support the medical staff. And we also have Nina there, too. You know, we understand it's more work to maintain that donor or potential donor. And so we want to make sure we have boots on the ground to assist our hospital partners. So thank you for that. That's very important. And I appreciate you sharing that case with our listeners. That's a great outcome. Five organs is a great outcome. And you're right. It's five families who have their loved one. It's touching. Anybody else want to add anything?
I think another great point to bring up is because one of the times when most people may interact with Life Bank before, other than being asked if they want to be an organ donor or when they're renewing licenses and things like that, there's a lot of great programs and events that happen throughout the year that Life Bank helps support. Like we do Over the Edge, and they do the Gift of Life Walk that happens at Blossom every single year. And those are great opportunities where there are both a lot of medical staff members that come out and support them because of how closely we work with Life Bank. But there's also a lot of organ donor recipient families, or even families who have had someone donate to other family member, to other people in this world that are there. So you get to see a lot of people in this community. And it just helps to show that there's really only six people separating everyone in this world, because everyone knows someone, or everyone is connected by one common thread. And through organ donation, it just gets smaller.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I agree with that.
Like, you can't take your organs with you. So, you know, if I have the ability to help somebody out, if, you know, I'm not able to sustain life on my own anymore, then let that be. Let me help others. You know, I guess that's just maybe why we're in nursing in general, is we want to help. So whether it's in life or death, like, you know, by all means, let other people benefit.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Well, thank you, ladies. Is there anything anybody else wants to say?
I think this has been amazing. Thank you so much for letting us chat with you and, you know, share some stuff.
This is the way we touch people. It's another way people can learn in a benign manner. It's a way for them to listen and then draw their own conclusions. And hopefully that is to share their life with somebody else when theirs is finished. So we appreciate you. We appreciate your work. Every day you guys are at it, and you're saving lives, whether it's through donation or healing those patients in those beds. And again, we cannot thank you enough. We honor you and we respect your work, and don't know where we'd be without our partners. So thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your connection and your passion for organ, eye, and tissue donation.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
We hope you found today's episode informative and inspirational. You know, you can save lives simply by going to lifebanc.org and registering your donation decision. You can catch Let's Talk About Life on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, but you can always find it at lifebank.org. We thank you for listening, and we hope you come back next time. And come on, let's talk about life.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk About Life. If you have questions about today's podcast, reach out to us at info@lifebank.org. Take a few minutes to do something heroic and register to be an organ donor by saying yes at lifebank.org. Literally, someone's life is dependent on it.